Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and on today's show, I'll be talking with Sister Annie Credidio about the life-saving work she's doing on behalf of lepers in a community in Ecuador. Sister Annie will tell us about why she felt God calling her to this unique mission and how it's transforming the lives of patients who were once treated as outcasts. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi. Many people are familiar with the story of Father Damien, now Saint Damien, who was a Belgian priest that devoted his life to caring for lepers on the island of Molokai. Though he died in 1889, there are people still carrying on his legacy in other parts of the world. Well, my guest today is one of those people. Sister Annie Credidio, an American Sister of Charity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, is the co-founder of Damien House in Ecuador, which brings hope and healing to people with Hansen's disease, commonly known as leprosy. Until Sister Annie came along, patients with Hansen's were outcasts from society and often died painful, lonely deaths. She has made a tremendous difference in their lives by co-founding Damien House, a residential hospital that provides medical care and other programs for Hansen's patients. To tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Sister Annie Credidio. Sister Annie, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Tony.
Now, before we talk specifically about Damien House, take me back a number of years. Tell me about that first trip to Ecuador you made many years ago. Why did you initially go there, and what conditions did you find?
Originally, my community is we're the Sisters of Charity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, also known as the BVMs. And when I entered my community, I was already 31, going on 32 that year. And they were encouraging people to experience another culture and just see what the rest of the world is like and the needs. And so some of the sisters were doing works in other countries, and I chose Ecuador. And when I went there for a summer experience, and I was like 83, maybe it was like 84. Mm-hmm. And when I went there, I just fell in love with the kids. I was a preschool teacher, and I had been teaching first grade in Chicago at the time.
Okay.
And I just fell in love with the kids and the whole culture. The people were wonderful, and I'm Italian descent, and I just felt like that the Ecuadorians were very much like the Italians, friendly, open door policy, you know, just come in and sit and have something to eat. So I just fell in love with Ecuador. Made a commitment the following year to leave where I was teaching at Holy Trinity in Chicago. I decided to throw in my lot because the needs were so great. The mm-hmm. poverty was overwhelming, and education, as an educator, I really felt education was the only way out for a lot of people. Yeah. When I first arrived at the Nuevo Mundo School, which means New World, someone invited me that the first couple of months to attend the liturgy, a mass, at a local hospital. And that's when the reality hit me. When I was sitting there waiting in the chapel for mass to begin, I just was aware of all the people who were there, mutilated by a disease. And I turned to the woman next to me and I said, "Where are we?" And she said, "Well, this is a hospital for people with leprosy." Mm. And Hansen's is really Hansen's disease. I quickly learned that people wanted to refer to the disease as Hansen's because of the strong stigma of leprosy. And so today there's a cure for it. When I was there, the cure had just, I think, pretty much arrived in the country. And people were not, they knew that there was a cure for their disease. In the United States, they couldn't get the medicine.
Mm-hmm.
World Health Organization slowly went to different countries with the cure.
Right.
And so the conditions were horrible, deplorable. Rats on the beds of the patients during the night, the rats would crawl up from the broken sewer tops and bite the toes of the patients. Patients were complaining about the food that would come over from the hospital next door, which was the umbrella, the hospital for infectious diseases.
Sure.
The food would come over to the Hansen wing with rat hairs in it and roaches in it. And I at first thought the
patients get scared off by all that?
I'm from Brooklyn. You know, I'm a tough kid from Brooklyn, New York. You know, And we've had our share of rats in Brooklyn. You know, I was not afraid. I knew, you know, I was afraid of rats. And, you know, I think most people are afraid of rats.
Yeah, sure.
But I also was aware of the disease that they bring. And I thought, these people have enough disease, enough trouble. And why should they worry about rats coming out through the toilets? And they couldn't even go to the toilet, you know, without in peace. And I thought, no, that's not fair to live that way. So I realized that a lot of people want to work with children. They're so lovable and kissable, and these were the untouchables, and there were so many needs. It was so overwhelming, and I thought, everyone deserves to have a decent meal, and everyone deserves to have a roof that doesn't leak, and everyone deserves to have a bed that doesn't have holes in the mattresses, and a mosquito net during the rainy season.
Yeah.
And it was just, there were so many needs, and so my community, you know, I said, I really would like to work full-time with these folks, and they said, hey, with our blessing, just go for it. You know?
That was the
and
start of the story, huh?
That was the start of the story. I think my community is an unusual community. They just let people choose and wherever the spirit calls.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated that so much, because I was at a point in my life when I kept listening to the spirit. You know, when you're encouraged to sit in silence and pray, you have to listen to what's pulling your heart to do, you know, what the needs of the world are. So
I'm talking to Sister Annie Credidio. She's the founder of Damien House in Ecuador, which takes care of patients with Hansen's disease, also known as leprosy. And were you ever concerned that you could catch Hansen? I mean, is it a communicable disease, Hansen's? Because I don't think people really know a lot about it. We know the story of Jesus healing the lepers in the Bible, but in the United States, I think, you know, that's almost the extent of what we know about leprosy today.
Well, let me tell you, every major city in the United States has an outpatient treatment center in their hospital for infectious diseases,
mm-hmm.
and there are no signs. That's why the privacy laws are so important in the U.S. to protect people.
Mm-hmm.
But in every major city has a hospital for infectious diseases, and the dermatology unit, there are people who are being treated for Hansen's disease.
Okay.
And there's a cure for this disease. You don't, it's not contagious, and that's what most people don't realize. And so you have a husband and a wife, and one will have it and the other one will never have it. You may have 8 children and one will and the other will never have it. We don't know why some people are more susceptible to others in picking up this disease.
Yeah.
I want to pick up on something you said earlier about the founder. Actually, I'm a co-founder, Suzanne Bells in Chicago. We both attended Mundelein College.
Okay.
For our master's, and we met during a program of Creation Breakthrough Spirituality with Sister Blanche Gallagher in the class. She led that class, and that led to a seminar that we had taken with Jean Houston. And the two of us became friends during that seminar, and Suzanne asked the question, what could I do?
Mm-hmm.
And that led to, hey, you know, I wanted to stop nickel and diming it. These people needed help. They needed major, major help. We needed money. And she said, why don't you start a foundation? And I said, I don't know how to do that. She said, well, my husband's a lawyer. He'll do all legal work. And she said, I'll do all bylaws. And her mother was in her 80s, Dorothy Schwartz. And so Ed Belds jumped in with the legal stuff, and Dorothy Schwartz did all of our bookkeeping, and Suzanne Belds formed, and we helped. She said, what do you want to call it? And I thought, well, Father Damien was the only one I ever read about,
yeah.
You know, that had the... So I thought, let's call it Damien House. We had a little logo done, and Mrs. Anderson from Chicago, a printer, said, I want to help. What can I do? And she printed up all of our newsletters and everything, and now we have our newsletter printed by a woman in Ecuador. So it's great. You know, these are people who jump on board. What can I do? I love it when people say, ask, what can I do?
It shows that people are willing to step up and take the initiative, which is really what Father James Keller, who founded the Christophers in 1945, he was really all about, telling people, you know, just in your own little world, take the initiative to change something for the better. And it sounds like you ran into a lot of those people willing to take that step up.
That's right. That's why we're still surviving. Is we're celebrating legally 20 years, Damien House. And it was 20 years last December, so it will be 21 years this year.
Wow.
As a legal foundation. And if it weren't for people who want to say, I'd like to give to a cause, there's no overhead. There is no office. It's all run by volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Every penny goes straight down the Damien House. And that's what provides the 24-hour care for many people who are mutilated by this disease, who can't care for themselves. It provides the medicines, the food that they need, and the dignity and the respect that every human being deserves. So we slowly by applying for different grants. The Damien Dutton Foundation, just wonderful group, just responded to us, and people like the Sarita East Kennedy Foundation in New York. And it's just wonderful how when people hear about us and see the photos and hear the stories and they reach out, I think that's wonderful. It gives us great hope to know. And what a wonderful thing for the folks down the residents at Damien House, knowing that people care enough about them.
Yeah, absolutely.
To help keep the doors open and keep them alive. And so it's just a fantastic. If they could do that, how could I not do it?
Very true. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Sister Annie Credidio about her work with Damien House in Ecuador, which takes care of those with Hansen's disease. The people that you met there who had Hansen's, they were in such a poor physical state, poor surroundings. What was their spirituality like at the time? Did they feel abandoned by God?
Many of them felt abandoned by their families and by society, but the spirituality was incredible. They would always begin a sentence by saying, "Si Dios quiere," if God wants, you know, and "La voluntad de Dios," the will of God. And I thought, wow, these people are always mentioning God. I mean, they so many of them needed surgeries, they needed amputations, they needed eye surgery. They were losing their eyesight because of their problems with the cataracts and losing their teeth, and they have worn away their teeth, their gums, rather, from chewing on their food when their teeth were missing, and you can't even fit a bridge in their mouth. And yet they'd say, "Si Dios quiere," if God wants. And their spirituality really shook me. Because I think, well, I have my 10 fingers, and I have my 10 toes, and I was dealing with folks who were lacking the basic necessities. And they believed that God did not abandon them. And well, actually, when I first got there, it was really funny because they kept calling me this angel that fell from the sky, who fell from heaven. You know, I thought, no, I'm far from being an angel. No, but I think that when they kept saying that, I thought, well, gosh, you know, their prayers must have been all those years praying that someone would hear. You know, they knew God was hearing them. And I really do believe that God taps us on the shoulder. God puts us where we need to be when the time is right. I was already in my 30s, and I thought that it was time for me to do something that was out of the ordinary. And a lot of people just didn't want to have to deal with people with Hansen's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was delighted to know that, you know, they wanted me there, and I wanted to be there. The more I was there, the more I became. I just, Ecuador was going to be a 3-year commitment teaching.
Uh-huh.
I was going to save the world and come back to the States and do my 3-year stint, you know.
Well, you're doing pretty good on the saving the world part.
I don't know. Like I said, I think we become so transformed in the process.
Yeah.
And so what I thought I knew faith was about, I found out from others, you know, that real true faith is just letting everything go and letting God take over. And that's the way we continue to operate. We have no clue as to where we get our next donation from, because we have to just totally trust that it's God's work. And it can be very stressful, too, at times.
No, I believe it. Were there any patient stories from those early days that when you really realized you were making a difference in somebody's
life? Incredible stories. You know, there was one guy years ago, his name was Segundo Moncada. Segundo means second child.
Mm-hmm.
And Segundo was a man who lost both of his legs because of the bone disintegration, and he had to have both legs amputated because of the severe infection. The infection, year for years, he took several types of medications, antibiotics, which eventually destroy the organs of the body.
Mm.
He did not receive the medicine in time. Most of his fingers were gone. He lost his eyesight. He lost all of his teeth. People would come into his room, and he'd just raise his hands up to God and say, "Thank you so much for coming. It's so nice to have you." And then he would sing to everybody.
Huh.
Most people remember Segundo because he would sing.
Yeah.
And he was a real flirt. Any of the young girls that came into the room, you know, I'm like, "Segundo, behave yourself." But he was just wonderful. And I thought, well, years ago, well, that won't happen to any human being today. You know, it's different. No, I'm sorry to say, I'm really sorry to say, but there are patients who are still having their legs amputated. We have a wonderful guy today named Justino León, and both legs amputated, but he's got the most incredible spirit. He races around in his wheelchair, unlike Segundo, who did not get the medicine in time, and couldn't. He needed total care, 24-hour care, nursing care.
Yeah.
But León is a fighter. He's a man who says, I have work to do here. And whenever he sees paint peeling, he's like, that wall needs to be painted. He gets all the volunteers to join him and scraping down the walls and painting. And sometimes he paints so much that if he's racing around his chair, you have to watch him go paint your legs as he races by. But incredible spirit. And he does believe that God is going to take care of him. God depends on us to take care of those who can't take care of themselves. And if he did not have that second amputation just a few years ago, he would have gone to God. But I really do believe what he says. I have work to do yet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a true example when we have young people from the United States and from all over coming to Ecuador to have an experience, an immersion retreat experience. They come amazed at the spirituality of people like Segundo and a 97-year-old Fortunato who makes his hammock. He says, I look forward to this every morning. I have a purpose. I go and I get up. I have my wound care. I have my breakfast. And then I make my hammock. And it's been just days making these, tying these little knots for these hammocks.
Huh.
They're all handmade. And it's great. They have a purpose in life.
Absolutely. I'm talking to Sister Annie Credidio about her work with Damien House. The website is thedamienhouse.org. You mentioned the word angel before, that the people there thought you were an angel. But in the letter I received from one of your volunteers recommending you as a guest, Maria Franzetti, she said you also have a group of people you call Annie's Angels. Who are they and what do they do there?
That's right. Well, let me tell you, our web is www.thedamienhouse.org.
The
word "the"
dot
is in there, and then it's damienhouse@gmail.com. So the Facebook is facebook.com, La Fundación Padre Damián. The Annie's Angels, they're a group of people. They started out from all over the U.S., but the bulk of them are from New Hampshire, and they came down to Ecuador with a group called Project Perfect World. They were doing orthopedic surgeries for little children, and we were the host trying to interpret, facilitate the group in the country, and it's nice to have an in-country coordinator. That's what I was trying to do, getting volunteers to interpret, students from the Catholic University to interpret. And this one group decided that they would break away from the Project Perfect World organization. Project Perfect World sponsored them for the first year to come down and do nerve decompression surgeries on our hands and patients. These surgeries are being done. We've already had them 4 years of different groups. It's Dr. Jim Wilton from New Hampshire is spearheading this group right now. And one group and another group, they do only the nerve decompression surgeries to restore the sensation in the hands, the fingers, and the toes. And so while one surgeon is operating on the leg and the ankle, another doctor will be working on the arm and the hand. So you have your hand surgeons, and it's incredible how these folks have operated over the years and come down just with they take a week's vacation. They know they change lives, and young people especially, when they get the sensation back, they can go back to work.
Mm.
They're productive members of society. So if you have a campesino, a country person who can't farm because he can no longer hold a machete, it's incredible. After the surgery, they can go back to work, and they come back and they're smiling. Young mothers who can't hold their babies on their arms, they lose the sensation. They can't pick up a pot from the stove. They can't iron. They can't even hold a needle to sew anything because they don't have that sensation in the fingers. And these mothers, after surgery, they're holding their children and they've gotten their lives back together as a result of these wonderful. I truly believe they decided to call themselves Annie's Angels. So out the Wilton spearheads it with so many. I don't want to mention all the surgeons right now because I may miss somebody, but Dr. King is also another one who came down with Annie's Angels. He wanted to do just knee surgeries. He gets all these prosthetic knees donated. And so he comes down now and he does surgeries. Dr. King is one of the best knee surgeons in New Hampshire, and he does all these surgeries on patients, knowing that many of them are not even Hansen patients, but that those surgeries open up the doors at the local hospital for our patients, so that when our patients need to have the OR, the use of the ORs, and all of the waiver of all the fees, mm-hmm. he knows that his surgeries for knee replacements, that's opening the door for us so that when our team comes, we have a clear green light all the way. We don't have to pay a penny to the local hospital. They pick up all the tabs on our patients and for a two-night stay. It's incredible.
Absolutely.
So, yes, they are truly angels.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Sister Annie Credidio about her work with Damien House, taking care of people with Hansen's disease. Again, the website is www.thedamienhouse.org. Have you seen the volunteers we're just talking about, Annie's Angels? How are they changed emotionally or spiritually by this experience?
They love the experience because when they come down, in the United States, we're not a culture of like touchy feely huggy. And when they come down to Ecuador, everybody like wants to hug them and mm-hmm. shake their hands. They cannot believe how after surgery, even before surgery, the patients are shaking their hands and they're hugging them and they're thanking them. Even if they're not chosen for surgery, they have this joy. And they say in the United States, most people will wake up and they're, oh, doctor, I'm in pain and all this. Mm-hmm. And these folks wake up and they're like, thank you so much, doctor. They're shaking their hands and saying, God bless you. I'll pray for you, for your families. They're very taken by the sincerity of these folks who have surgery. And they have changed. They love to come down because it's a time for them to gather as a group. They're coming for a common experience. They know they leave with changing lives. Mm-hmm. And they don't have any lawsuits. But the credentials are very important. Ecuador is very strict about now who comes down. They have to have their curriculum vitaes, and they have to show that they have experience and their licenses intact and all, mm-hmm. Up to date, I should say.
Sure.
And so they know the requirements are a strict requirement, but they know there is a need that's not being fulfilled right now. And the follow-ups to these surgeries are incredible because we are the only place in the whole world that's doing follow-ups to these nerve release or nerve decompression surgeries. It's amazing. I didn't know that. So we had a young man who came down, Eric Wan, who came down for 4 months and volunteered and was doing all the follow-ups. And he's with the Dellum Institute. And they're with Johns Hopkins University, and they're trying to get some papers written. And Dr. Dellum was the first person who came down, inviting Dr. Wilton and his team. So it's been one Dr. Wilton picked up, and Dr. Wilton's been coming down all these years with the group. So we are hopefully going to get some headway. People need to know in the United States this disease is still alive. Hansen's disease is not gone. Hansen's disease is on the rise. There was an article, some people were telling me about Florida, like 7 new cases in Florida, the 9-banded armadillo, not all armadillos, but the 9-banded armadillo. Many of those animals hold the bacteria. That's how they are doing. So we don't know. You know, people never ever leave the U.S. and they're coming down with Hansen's disease. So that's important. People need to hear that.
Yeah, it's the educational part of your mission. You know, at the Christophers, we use the motto, it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. When you've hit those times of darkness in your life, how did you move forward and believe that there was a brighter future ahead?
Well, I have to say that my community helped me in that area because the BVMs, they have shown me really that you have to take time to just be, and you have to take time to reflect on the scriptures. And at first, it was hard for me to do that. We come from a very noisy culture, and it took me a while to learn how to do that. But mm-hmm. once I learned how to do that, when you can just let the silence speak to you and speak to your heart, and just when times are going gets really rough, you have to just let go and you have to let God take over. And I've learned over the years, and anytime I think, okay, I'm going to complain, it's like, okay, I'm sorry. It's like an apology. I'm so sorry. We've been through this before. You've always gotten me through, you know.
Yeah.
And so there's a personal relationship that happens when you can do that. And I'm very grateful to the BVMs for teaching me how to do that and continuing. The sisters here, I'm at the Mother House right now. I'm looking at a beautiful view over the Mississippi. And I truly believe when each sister has a person that she prays for, and I believe that all of the sisters are praying for us down there, me personally, they're always saying, I pray for you all the time. And I do believe in the power of prayer. And that gets us through the hard times, and personally it gets me through the doubting that I may have when every time I can't meet my expenses and just somehow a donation comes through and
right.
or someone is really having a terrible time with the surgery, and I know that prayers are needed, and we have prayer hotlines going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do believe in the power of prayer. That's what gets me through it.
Right. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and I have been talking to Sister Annie Credidio about her work at Damien House in Ecuador. She is taking care of those with Hansen's disease. She co-founded the place with Suzanne Belts, like she said before, and it's really a place of hope, is the one lesson I really learned. When I went into this interview, I kind of expected to hear all these hard-suffering patients with Hansen's, but it sounds like some of them are so filled with joy, with faith, with trust in God, that we can actually learn a lesson from these people who are treated as outcasts by society. And God bless Sister Annie for taking care of them, for everything she does. I want to give the website again. It's thedamienhouse.org. People can go there, find out more information, help out with their important work. And Sister Annie, thanks so much for sharing your work and your vision with us today.
And thank you so much for the opportunity to do that. And God bless you and keep us in your prayers.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
In a world with millions of distractions, it's all too easy to lose sight of God in the midst of housework or homework or a hard day at the office. Yet God continues to speak to you, even in your busiest or most distracted moments. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Listening When God Speaks. It shares stories about people who have learned to recognize God's voice in their lives and offers advice on how you can do the same. To request your free copy of Listening When God Speaks, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.